Today Shir Vesach Chulin Daf Kuf Tez Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Tez Vav on the bays, on the bottom line. El Amalei Remarkable Ravashi. In the previous shiurim, we've been learning the Gemara has been seeking sources how we know the halacha that Bas B'Cholov is also not only the bishul, as the Torah says explicitly, Vashu Gedi B'Cholei V'Mai, but that it's also Osar V'Achilu V'Hano. And the Gemara, at the end of the previous year, brought the limud of Isi Ben Yehuda, who said that we learn it from Arla, to which the Gemara asked, how can we learn from Arla to Bas B'Cholov, where Bas B'Cholov, where Arla never had a there was no Aveira done with the Arla, whereas by Bas B'Cholov there was an Aveira done. So the Gemara learned it from a combination of Arla, Chometz B'Pesach, and then on that common Tzad HaShava that the Gemara wanted to make between Arla and Chometz B'Pesach, that they were both Asur B'Hano. The Gemara said there's an issue because both of them are Gedulei Karka. So the Gemara added a third factor, and that is Kali HaKerem. But to quickly summarize what the Gemara asked, is that we haven't accomplished much when we add Kali HaKerem into the mix, because Kali HaKerem is also Gedulei Karka. So how do we understand this limud? Ela Amar Emadchala Rav Ashi, Hachamin Mishmeid Rish Lakish, and as Rashi and the Mefarshim all point out, that what the Gemara now is about to do is explain and give us the rules for how we learn differently Mudim. And Rashi's opinion seems to be that there isn't necessarily a logic behind these rules, just these are the rules that were given to us how to learn the different types of drushes that are used to learn halachas b'chol ha'Torah kula. There are Rishayim, and we will try to quote those Rishayim to the best of our ability to try to bring logic to this rule. And he says the Gemara as follows. Chada mechada. When we're trying to learn one halacha from another halacha, kula v'chumra pachina, that type of situation can only be refuted if the source from where we're learning the halacha proves to be either more lenient or more stringent than the thing we're going to learn. That creates a distinction between the melamed, so to speak, the teacher, and the lomed, and the student, that there's such a significant difference, and therefore we can't learn one from the other. Kaldahu, but just because there's a characteristic difference between the melamed and the lomed, that it doesn't represent a kula or a chumra, that isn't a good enough reason to distinguish between them. Chada mitarti, but we're going to learn one halacha from two sources, there the halacha is afil kaldu b'chinen, even if there's a mere distinction, that is enough of a reason to break that limud. Of course, the Mefarshim, the Rishonim already point out that when the Gemara says kaldu b'chinen, it has to have some explanation, some understanding. Just because we could find some very meaningless distinction, that, of course, would never be enough of a reason to refute that limud. Because they explain we could always, if we look hard enough, find some sort of distinction. Chod mitlas, but when we're learning one from two, I chod din of osv ma'atzan, if we're going to be need to bring that third source into the limud. That means it's going to be a tzad hashavah, and we're going to say, well, we can't learn from the first limud because the first limud has a distinction, kula v'chumra. Nor can we learn from the second. We have to combine the first and the second. So the Gemara just said, if we combine the first and second limud, then the halach is that if there's a mere distinction, we could break it. Now when we bring a third source in, and let's talk halacha l'maisa. When we speak in our Gemara, when we began with Arla and Chametz, so we then, and we asked that Arla and Chametz versus Basa B'Chalav have a Pircha Kaldahu. What is the Pircha Kaldahu? As we said at the beginning of our Shir, Arla and Chametz are Gedulei Karka, grow from the ground, whereas Basa B'Chalav doesn't. So the Gemara introduced Kali HaKerem. And now to relate to the Gemara. If when we brought Kali HaKerem into the picture, what we would need to do is combine Kali HaKerem with Arla and with Chametz and say, well, Arla has this distinction, this characteristic, and Chametz has this characteristic, and Kali HaKerem has this characteristic. But what is the common denominator that they're osa b'achila and osa b'hano? So should be bos b'cholof. Then indeed, says the Gemara, that parchinan kaldehu. We would ask any type of question. But here, Kali HaKerem doesn't have any characteristic, or any, when we brought Kali HaKerem, it was just a third source to teach us this concept that it's also b'achila b'hano. But we didn't have to reintroduce a tzad hashava. So, since we didn't have to reintroduce a tzad hashava, the halach is as follows. If we would have had to reintroduce a tzad hashava, says the Gemara Pachin and Kaldhu, itaka could be refuted with any question, v'loy. But if, as we're learning now, we did not have to introduce it, kula v'chamra pachinan, only we can ask a question that shows the stringency or leniency, that would be a fair question. Kaldahu, but just the fact that there's a mere distinction, again, the fact that Kali HaKerem is Gedulei Karka, and Bas B'Cholov is not Gedulei Karka, which doesn't represent a Kula or a Chumra, it represents a Kaldahu, Loi Parchim. And of course, as I said, because the way most Rishonim learn, this Gemara, the way to understand this Gemara, this halacha, is that there's no explanation. Because if we're learning that the more melamdim there are, then certainly we ask a pircha kaldahu. So if there are two melamdim, we ask a pircha kaldahu. Then the halacha ought to be that when there are three melamdim, we should also ask a pircha kaldahu. Yet our Gemara doesn't do that. And our Gemara says that when there are three melamdim, unless it's a tzad hashava, we can't ask a pircha kaldahu. So many Rishonim say that that is exactly why there is no logic behind these limudim. The Rosh Yosef tries to explain the Gemara this way. If we have, the Gemara says, a Kal V'Chomer could only be refuted with a strong question, as the Gemara said. Once the Kal V'Chomer was refuted, and it needed support from an outside source, and that's exactly what happens here, let's go through the Gemara, we attempted to learn the halacha of Bas B'Cholov from Arla, but Bas B'Cholov from Arla didn't work, because the Gemara said they have this very distinct big difference. So the Gemara had to support that Kal V'Chomer by introducing Chametz B'Pesach. There, since it only has one support can easily be knocked away. Pircha Kaldahu. But now that Kal V'Chomer doesn't just have one support, it has two supports. It has there to the Kal V'Chomer, so to speak, re-energizes itself, and the only way it could be refuted is if there are two questions on that Kal V'Chomer, if there's a strong question on the Kal V'Chomer, otherwise the Kal V'Chomer cannot be refuted. V'lifrach, but the Gemara, so the way we've understood now is that we have three milam, we have the Arla and Chametz for Pesach, that's how we began, and then it was supported with Kali HaKerem, and since we couldn't find a kul of a chumrah on Kali HaKerem versus Bas B'Cholov, the limud stands. Ask the Gemara, but there is a strong question differentiating. There is a kul of a chumrah type of question differentiating Kali HaKerem from Bas B'Cholov. Because Mala Kali HaKerem, she can lo hoselam shas HaKosher. Bas B'Cholov, as we keep on saying, started off as Basr and Cholov, mutter food, and then two mutter foods that only because of their combination became Asr. Whereas Kali HaKerem never was mutter, because Kali HaKerem, there's two ways of understanding that. That the Gemara is understanding that what becomes Asr, only what grows, and what grew from this combination never had a Shas Heter. So it's very different than Bas B'Cholov. Omer of Adabar Hava, Zois Ameris, the fact that this question wasn't asked is a proof that by Kali HaKerem, not only do the growths that grow out of this combination of seeds become Asur, but Ikra Nasr, what even existed before, is also Asr. And those seeds that were there before, that now become Asr, they are seeds that Hoselahem Shas HaKosher Kaidim HaShrasha, they were mutter seeds before they took root. There's a question in the Rishonim, what is included when we say that even the ikra becomes nasr? Do we mean only the seeds, or does it include all the other, or everything else, the wood that was also planted, or is it limited to the seeds? So the Gemara is saying now that if we plant something in the ground, the iser, the klayim, that even the pot that was previously here and was previously mutter, now becomes Asr. Ask the Gemara, Masr Shmaya Baziro, Hamavi Otzitz Naka B'Kerem. It says in the Mishnah that if somebody takes over a perforated flower pot over a vineyard that has a different type of growth than grapes, so the halach is as follows. Im Hosef Masayim, if it grows more by 200 Asr, because the halacha by Kalai Kerim is that the shear is always a shear of 200 to 1. Why is it a shear of 200 to 1? Because by Truma, the shear, as we've learned previously, is 100 to 1. Now Truma is only Asr Vachila. Kalai Kerim, which is Asr Vachila Ubahano, has a double the shear, that's the 200 to 1 shear. So what do we see from this Mishnah? Hoisef in, only what grew new is Asr. Loi Hoisef loi, but what wasn't there is not Asr. So we see again that only what grows become Asr, not what was there from before. Ask the Mefarshim, that even if we'll assume that what grows, only what grows new is Asr, but not anything else, not what was there from before, we still have a raya that has a Shas HaKosher. Because only when it grew to the point where it's not bottled in a ratio of 200 to 1 does it become usur. But before it was that ratio, it was mutter. So why are we saying that it didn't have a shas hakosher? Say to Mefarshim, from here we see a very important concept, and it's a concept that we've discussed previously, that even if we say that something is bottled, and therefore the halacha is that it's mutter, it's not to be understood when we say something is bottled that it's completely mutter. Bittel teaches us that because it's bottled, we could take a more lenient approach. But not that Bittel in any way teaches us that we that it's completely mutter. And therefore here too, even though we're certainly saying that until it has such a significant growth that it's not bottled in 200, it's not to mean that before that it's completely mutter and that it would therefore fall into the category of something that had a shas hakosher. But back to our Gemara's question. Here the Gemara is saying, clearly indicating, that only what grew, grows new, is usur, not what was there from before. Amr Abaya, so responds Abaya, Trey Kroik Sivi. There are actually two psukim regarding the Kala Karen. One pasuk says, Ksif Pentigdash Hamaleya, which seems to say the Malaya, only the extra part that grows, is usur. The Ksif, yet there's another pasuk that says Hazera, the seed becomes usur. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? Haketzah, Zerua Mikara, if the seed was planted in the vineyard. The seed was planted perfectly, so there by Shrosha. Where the seed was planted in a field that it wasn't supposed to be planted, so there our law is, as soon as it takes root, it becomes that actual seed that was mutter from before, now becomes usur. However, Zeruah Ba, when we had a seed that was planted properly, and then it continued to grow after some other type of seed was brought into the vineyard, there the halacha is, Hoysef in, if it grows more than 200, it becomes usur. Loi Hoysef Loi, it doesn't become usur. Our Mishnah Paskin, that Bas B'Cholov is usur Bahano. Says the Gemara, Masnishin Deloitei Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Rav Shimon Ben Yudah Oyim Mishim Rav Shimon, Bas B'Cholov usur Bachila Umutu Bahano. Bas B'Cholov is usur Bachila Umutu Bahano. Ask the Mefarshim, why does our Gemara have to give these introductory words, Masnis and Deloit Haitana? Why couldn't the Mishnah just said, this Braisa, where this Braisa clearly indicates that Bas B'Cholov is Os B'Chil and Mot B'Ano, which is clearly different than our Mishnah. So answer the Mefarshim, the Gemara is trying to make a point, that we would perhaps try to say that there is no Machloikis. And when our Mishnah says the Bas B'Cholov is Asa B'Hano, the Mishnah means it's only Asa B'Hano Midrabanan. In order to avoid making such an error, says the Gemara these introductory words, Masnis like Haitana, that our Mishnah and this Braisa are very different. This Braisa holds that it's Mutar B'Hano, and our Mishnah holds that it's Asa B'Hano even Midraisa. Shinema, because the Pasuk says, Ki Am Kaddish Ata, the Pasuk says, regarding the pasuk, the din of Bas B'Cholov, Ki Am Kodesh Ata L'Hashem L'Techo, L'Sivash G'di B'Chalei Moy, V'Nem L'Halon, regarding the Issa to eat Trefa, the pasuk says, Anchi Kodesh Tiyamu, or Bas B'Sed Trefa, L'Sichelu, L'Kelof Tashlich Noisoy, Ma L'Halon, Osa B'Chila, U'Mutter B'Hano, Af Kan, Osa B'Chila, U'Mutter B'Hano. And the Mefarshim explained that actually Isi ben Yehuda also in the previous year began by learning the halacha that Bas B'Cholov is Asa B'Chila because he learned it from Treifa. This Isi ben Yehuda then said, we also know that Bas B'Cholov is Asa B'Hano from the halacha of Arla. So why can't the Braisa agree with Isi ben Yehuda? So the Rishonim answer, because this Braisa is obviously of the opinion that ein gzeir shava l'mechta. And if there's a gzeir shava between basa b'chalav and treifa, we have to compare it all the way. And just like treifa is osa b'chilo muta b'hano, so too will be the halacha by basa b'chalav. Isi ben Yehuda, on the other hand, holds, then when do we say ein gzeir shava l'mechta? We say ein gzeir shava l'mechta when the kavachomer or another type of limud will contradict what the gzeir shava says. However, when the gzeir shava remains intact, where there is no stira between the kavachomer and the gzeir shava, so Isi ben Yehuda is of the opinion, so even though we have a gzeir shava, and even though we have a loch of engzer shav lemechta, we could still continue learning a kal v'chomer. And that's indeed what Isi ben Yehuda does. Our Tana of this brice that we just quoted says that no, that the rule of engzer shav lemechta says that it has to be a perfect comparison and no other factors may be introduced to break the perfect comparison. We learned in our Mishnah, Rekiva Omer, the Rekiva's opinion is that chayi v'oif are not osur by bas v'cholav midaraisa. Because Rabbi Kiva learned that the Torah says three times lo sevashal gedi b'chalev imoy. One is to teach us the halacha of non-kosher animals, one is chayis, and one is oifis. Ask the Gemara, but hani hafkin on look at the Shmuel. Have we not used these psukim for what Shmuel taught us, that the halacha that to teach us that chalev and nevela are also included in the halacha bas b'cholav, and to teach us that the meat of the shilya of the fetus is also included in bas b'cholav. So how could these psukim be available for Rabbi Kiva to teach us the din of chayiv oif? Answers the Gemara. As far as Chalev and Nevela go, Kesav Rabbi Kiva, Issa Chalalissa. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that Issa Chalalissa. And Chalev Umesa Litrichikra. So to teach us that a Chalev and Nevela are subject to the Halacha Bas B'Chalav, I don't need a Pasuk. Issa Chalalissa. Shlil, he holds, is a Gedim Al Yehu. Is a full-fledged Gedi. And that doesn't need a Pasuk either. Therefore, a yaisel l'kula, we have psukim available to teach us, prat l'chai v'oif, l'behema t'meya, we have these three psukim to teach us the behema, the chai is excluded from us, b'chal b'daraitza, oif is excluded, behema t'meya. Now there's a very fundamental question in the Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara says, that Rekiva, Sover Rekiva issa chalal issa. Doesn't mean that indeed the basis for Rekiva's limud is that Rabbi Kiva is the man, the Omer, that holds Issa Chalalissa. And because he holds Issa Chalalissa, that's why we don't need a pasuk for Chalav and Nevela. Or, another way of understanding, is of course Rabbi Kiva holds, as is the accepted Shita throughout Shas, that ain't Issa Chalalissa. The only reason over here he says Issa Chalalissa is because he is this he considers an Issa Maisif. Why is it Issa Maisif? Because Chalev and Nevela are only Osir Bachila, Basa B'Cholav is Osir Bahano, and we've learned that even the Man Ba'amah that holds a Issa Chalal Issir holds by an Issa Maisif that we do say Issa Chalal Issir. What is the basis of this Machlokes? The base of this machlokes is connected to a nekuda on the floor quoted by the Rambam. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos says that he has a nekuda on the floor, a wonderful point that he needs to make. Because he says, of course, we should understand that every situation of Bas B'Cholav is Issa Maisif. As we just said, Bas B'Cholav is Osir Bahano. Says the Rambam that the Issa Hano that exists Ibas B'chalov is really connected to the Isra Achila. It's not an independent new Isra. And therefore, even though normally such a circumstance ought to be considered an Isra Maisiv, here it is not considered an Isra Maisiv. That's how the Rambam understands why Isra Bas B'chalov is not an Isra Maisiv. So again, to review, there are some Rishonim that say the reason Rabbi Akiva over here holds that we say Issa Chalal Isser is because it's an Issa Moisif. And then there's the opinion of the Rambam, who holds that Rabbi Akiva holds that here we say Issa Chalal Isser not because it's an Issa Moisif, because as we just quoted it in the Kud and the flaw of the Rambam holds that it's actually not an Issa Moisif. Rather, the explanation is because Rabbi Akiva always holds Issa Chalal Isser. What will be the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, should we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Because if we hold throughout Shas that ain't Issa Chalal Isser, and if according to the way we explained according to the Rambam, Rabbi Akiva's whole limud is based on holding Issa Chalal Isser, it would be difficult to paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But if we say that the reason Rabbi Akiva holds here Issa Chalal Isser is because it's an Issa Maisif, so it's not a contradiction to the concept that we always say of Ein Issa Chalal Isser, Rabbi Akiva, we therefore can paskin easily like Rabbi Akiva. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oymer Nemer Lo Yisoichu. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili held that by Chaya there is Issa Bas B'chalav, not by Oif. Ask the Gemara, my Ika, by Rabbi Yosi Aglili Rabbi Akiva, what is the basis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Because Rabbi Yosi Aglili said only by an animal that has milk is there bas b'cholof. It can be naya chay. Rav Yosef Lili sov a chay deraisa. Rav Yosef Lili holds that the iser of bas b'cholof by chay is an iser deraisa. Rav Kiva on the other hand holds that chay is osa derabon. Iba is ema. Another teretz. So I saw from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Emes Liakov a beautiful explanation why does the Gemara look for another teretz of Ibai Seima. He says the Gemara usually looks for another teretz when there's something wrong with the first teretz. The first teretz is perfectly fine. Why is the Gemara looking for another teretz? So he says that if we think about the first teretz, that the Mishnah is somewhat difficult now, because we have three opinions in the Mishnah. According to Rabbanan, Bas B'chalav is by Behema Chai V'Oif. According to Yosi Aglili, it's by Behema V'Chaya and not by Oif. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it's only by Behema, not by Chai V'Oif. If that's the case, then the Mishnah should have quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili before it quoted the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Why did the Mishnah first quote Rabbi Akiva's opinion and Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion? That's why the Gemara is dissatisfied with this teretz, even though it's true, because it is the halacha this way, but it doesn't satisfy the seder of our Mishnah. And because of that, the Gemara gives another teretz. Ibai seima, oif ikubinayu. The nafkamina will be regarding oif. Rekiva sava, chayva oif, enim in the Torah. That indeed, chayva oif are not also bas b'chol midaraisa. Hamad Rabbanan Asiri, they are also Mad Rabbanan. Rav Yosi Aglili Sover, Rav Yosi Aglili on the other hand holds, Oif Afil Mad Rabbanan Nami La Asar. Oif is an Asar even Mad Rabbanan. What is the Machloikis between Rav Yosi Aglili and Rav Akiva based on? So, I saw two explanations. One explanation is that Rav Akiva holds that only Basar is also Basar B'Cholof. Chazal therefore said, anything else that isn't Basar should at least be Asa B'drabon. But according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, so even though Oif, Chazal made Xer by Chaya, and Oif is very different than Basar, but once they made Xer on Chaya, they made Xer on Oif also. But according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Chaya doesn't need Xer. Chaya is Asa B'daraisa. And to make Xer between Oif and Chaya and Behema, there's no reason, because Oif is very different than Chai and Behema. That's one explanation. Another explanation is based on a famous Taz. The Taz says that even though we know that Rabbanan makes Zeris, says the Taz, the Rabbanan can only make Zeris not where the Torah says something is explicitly mutter. So Kiva, who learns that Chayev Oif are excluded from the Halacha Abbas B'cholav, so the Torah says Gedi, so the Torah didn't say explicitly that Chayev Oif are mutter. And since the Torah didn't say explicitly that Chayev Oif are mutter, the Rabbanan have a right to say that even though they're mutter with the Raisa, they should be awesome with the Rabbanan. Whereas, according to Rav Yosef Glili, the Torah explicitly says that Oif is mutter, because Oif doesn't have milk. Its mother doesn't have milk. So where the Torah explicitly says that something is mutter, Chazal cannot go ahead and say it's also. Says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hofi, M'koyim Asher B'lezer, Hayikar Karasim Eitzim Lassus B'chom Lassus Basil, they would cut down trees to make charcoal in order to make a knife for a meal on Shabbos. We know the halach is that if a meal is supposed to be done on Shabbos, it's Doicha Shabbos. But the machloikis that we learned in the Sekhta Shabbos is, how far does that halacha go? Can we even make a knife? Rav Lezer holds that we're even allowed to make the knife, which are the machshirim, which are needed for the mila, that could be done on Shabbos. Does machloikis, does that mean only if the iron is already available and we need to fashion it into a knife? Or does it mean that we're even allowed to get the iron in order to make a knife? And then I saw that the Rishonim suggest that according to Rav Lezer, not only is it permitted to make the knife on Shabbos, but they would go out of their way to make the knife on Shabbos to show how choshev the mitzvah of Mila was to them. M'kaymish Rav Yosef Aglili, where Rav Yosef Aglili lived, hayoichon basu v'oich b'chalav. They would eat basu b'chalav. And says the Gemara indeed, Levi ikla l'Rav Yosef Rishba. Levi came to the home of Rav Yosef, who was a person who used to catch fowl. Aisla kamei reisha the tafs b'chalva. They brought him a peacock. In fact, from here we see some, the Pesukim suggest that a peacock is a kosher bird. They brought him a peacock, cooked the milk. V'lamala v'lamidi. And he didn't say anything to them for eating poultry with milk. Kiasla kamei the Rebbe. When he came before Rebbe, Amalei Mailoi Tishtum Tinu, why didn't you put him into Cherem? Amalei, Asr Rabbi Yehuda ben Seiruhu, this was the place where Rabbi Yehuda ben Seiruhu was the Rav, Vamina, Dorash Luk Rav Yosef Glili, and I said that obviously he, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seiruhu, follows the opinion of Yosef Glili, Doma, that we just finished explaining, Yotza Oif She'elen Chalei Ve'ein, that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, even with Rabbanan, there is no din abbas b'cholov midarabon. And here, the Pais can point out, the Rajba already discusses this, we see the power of a rav in his city. That when you live in a city, you follow the opinion of the rav of that city, even if the rav is mako, is lenient in a subject that most people are machmer. As we find in our Gemara, that they follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, even though everybody else, even though we certainly know that Basur Oif B'cholov may be Osama the Rabbi Raisun, even the Rabbanim. And in fact, the Rajba goes on to say, this is how we understand that sometimes we find very blatant contradictions in Halacha. And how do we reconcile those blatant contradictions? So he says that the way they reconcile is because they represent the psak of different Rabbanon who lived in different places, and every place has to follow the psak of their Rav. And the Chazon Ish goes on to explain that this means to say that if somebody chooses a Rav and he always follows the psak of that Rav, even if the Rav psak will represent a kula, we still follow the Psak of the Rav. Because that pshat that you're accepting the Psak of the Rav, that you follow that Psak, if you follow one of the Gedolei HaPaiskim, you could always follow that Psak, the Kula, the Chumra, even if it's very different than the accepted Halacha. And I saw the Achrayim say this is why the Chazon Ish himself was such a in Aveda and Halacha, in some places he's a very big machmer, some places he's a mekel, because he felt that as long as you follow the opinion of one Rav, and his opinion you're consistent with, you should always follow that psak, l'kula l'chumra. Our Mishnah now begins to speak about the keva. In the stomach of the animal, milk is sometimes found. That milk is used as rennet, which is used to make cheese. Now actually, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah and the Gemara, they could use either the milk that's found in the stomach, which our Gemara is going to call the keva, or they can use the meat, which is called the or. Says the Mishnah, kevas ovkechavim, the rennet, the cheese, the milk that's found in the stomach of a cow, of an animal slaughtered by a goy, or shel nevela, hareze asura, you may not eat it, hareze asura, you may not use, you may not eat that milk. Hamamid ba'or shel keva, if somebody uses the meat of that stomach, says in the Mishnah, im yesh b'nois n'tam, if there's enough meat when you put it into the cheese that it's nois n'tam, that means it's not bottled v'shishim, then the halach is hareze asura. But if it's bottled v'shishim, then it's mutter. Now here we have a very interesting machloikis in the girsa of the Mishnah, and the machloikis in the girsa of the Mishnah has repercussions l'alocha. The girsa of our Mishnah is hamamid ba'or shel keva k'sheva. That's speaking about a kosher keva. Why is it specifically speaking about a kosher keva? So the Rashba and many Rishonim explain, because there's a very big difference between if you're using the or of a kevah k'sheira versus if you're using not a kevah k'sheira. Because the question, of course, is that this is a dover hamaymed. By using this meat, you're making cheese. And we've learned previously that a dover hamaymed never becomes bottled. So how could we suggest that you could take this meat to make cheese, even if it's bottled with shishim? The answer is that Basa B'cholov, and we keep on saying this concept, we're starting with two permitted foods, and therefore there is no din of Dover HaMaimit. And since there's no din of Dover HaMaimit, it's only bottle if it's bottle B'shishim. Whereas if it was the keva of a, if it was the meat of a non-kosher, of the nevela, so there indeed it's a dover hamaimid, and therefore since it's a dover hamaimid, the halacha is that it's never bottle, even b'shisha. There are, the Bach, however, has a different girsa, and he takes out the word kshera, and he says that this halacha applies even by the keva of a, even by the or of a non-kosher animal as well. Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks an obvious question. Why is this not considered bitl issa l'chatchila? We're taking the meat, so yes, the shishim, but we're not allowed to take a drop of milk and put it into a pot of meat and say that we're going to rely on shishim. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, two chedushim, two turutzim. One teretz he suggests is that here we're talking about the dried out meat, and since it's dried out meat, it's like wood, and therefore it's easier, and there is no issue of bitul islachatchila because it's not considered halachically like meat because it's so dried out. That's one teretz Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests. But then Rabbi Akiva Eger says another teretz, which is a chiddush niflo. He says that there is no din, even if we'll say that bittul isser is osser, there is no din of bittul isser by bas b'chol. And the explanation is, as we just said, because we're starting with two things, with two foods that are really mutter. And that means, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and again, I'm not saying this is the halacha, I'm actually saying that it's not the halacha that way. If one would purposely put in a drop of milk into a pot of meat that we know is bottled, the shishim, and it's not nois in tam, maybe it's mutter, even l'chatchila, and would not be a problem of bitlis l'chatchila. Of course, Rashi mentions that there's another concern with this meat, and that is if the liquid remains with the meat in the stomach for a while, so now the meat will absorb the milk that's in the rennet, the liquid that's in the stomach, and it will become bas v'cholof. And the Shulchan Aruch mentions two opinions when that would happen. One opinion is that we have the concept of kavush k'mavushel, but in order to say kavush k'mavushel, it has to be in there for at least 24 hours. So if the milk would remain in the meat for 24 hours, that meat would become also because of bas v'cholof. However, there's another opinion cited by the Shulchan Aruch that because the rennet is sharp, you don't have to have 24 hours, and in much less than 24 hours, this meat itself would become usur because it would be considered bas b'cholov because of the milk and meat, because of the milk that was sitting in it. Continues the Mishnah. If a kosher animal nursed from a treifa animal, kevasa asura, the rennet found in that stomach is usur, because it's considered as if it's non-kosher milk. On the other hand, treifa shiyakim nekshera, if a treifa animal nursed from a kosher animal, kivasa mataris, neshikonis bemeha, it's just sitting like it's sitting in its stomach. Says the Gemara, ata kevas of chavim lam nevelu, the Mishnah began by saying kevas of chavim mishal nevelu. Ask the Gemara that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that the shechita of an akum is always nevela. So it's one and the same. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Huna, the way to understand it, the Gemara, Hach v'lakeach gedim and oiv kechav miskin. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where somebody bought an animal from oiv kechav and then slaughtered it himself. The Cheshina, we need to be concerned, Shema Yonak min atreifa, maybe this animal nursed from a non-kosher animal, and therefore, as we learned in the Mishnah, the keva would then be asr. Ask the Gemara, Omicha shina shem yonak min atreifa, is that something that we need to be concerned about? But Tanya, loichem bei manavik kachavim, we'll have to buy eggs from an akum. Vein chashin loimishem nevela, we need not be concerned that maybe the eggs of a nevela, loimishem treifa, and we need not be concerned that it's from a treifa. And as the Echroinim explained, that's why nowadays we can always drink milk and eat eggs, because we're not choshish that it came from a treifa or nevela. Ella, says the Gemara, cheshina, the concern is shema yonik min atmeya. Maybe it nursed from a non-kosher animal. Ask the Gemara, o maishna treifa dolai cheshina, why are we not concerned that it nursed from a treifa? Or maishna treifa to tmei the cheshina, and why are we concerned that it nursed from a tmeya? Answers the Gemara, treifa lo shchicha, tmeya shchicha. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, that it nursed from a non-kosher animal, and because it's nursed from a non-kosher animal, so I feel gabdi dot namin shchicha. So then we should be concerned even by Jewish animals that maybe they nursed from a non-kosher animal. Answers the Gemara, Anan de bedelina meneu, we who don't have any contact with non-kosher animals, b'kechazina lehu, and if we see a non-kosher animal, mafreshina lehu, we separate our animal from the non-kosher animal, like Osbu Rabbon. Chazal did not make gzeira to be concerned about. Inu, d'loi bedelina meneu, they who aren't concerned about non-kosher animals, v'kichaz lehu, and therefore even if they see a non-kosher animal, lo mafish lehu, gozbe rabon. This Gemara is the basis for Mishmas Odom teaches us for a very important halacha. From here we see that if an animal eats non-kosher food, the animal becomes non-kosher. And that's why the halacha is behemish nispatma, an animal that was fed constantly non-kosher food, that animal the halacha considers non-kosher. And where the question comes up most often is if an animal eats chametz, are you allowed to drink the milk on Pesach? The Mishnah Berurah, the Nishmas Adam, as I said, takes somewhat of a serious view based on our Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah, quoting, and I saw that Ramosha also in the Tshuvas takes a position that even though perhaps Me'ikar Hadin, it's mutter, he says a Baal Nefesh should be Machmer not to drink the milk of an animal that ate chametz on the Pesach. He also says that's only if we know it ate chametz. He also said that may be different if it is an animal owned by a Jew or an animal owned by a guy. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadam that even if the animal ate chametz, after 24 hours, we can, if it's past 24 hours from when it ate chametz, we can be more lenient. And certainly the Pesachim are more lenient if it didn't just eat chametz, it had other food in its diet. So that's one way of understanding the Mishnah, why the Mishnah said Shal Ovik Chomet Shal Nevela. Shmuel, however, explains the Mishnah Chodok Tani. Kevish Shchivas Ovik Chomet, the rennet of an animal slaughtered by a goy is a Nevela. Ask the Gemara, Omi HaMishmuel Hachi, did Shmuel say this? VaMishmuel, V'nei Ma Osru Gvinas Ovik Chomet. The Gemara, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, teaches us that Gvinas Akum is Osru. And it says there the reason is with Neshamidin Oisab or Kabis Nevela. Ha Kaiva Gufa. We see from here that's only that the meat that they're concerned with. The Kaiva is Sharia. It's important to point out that the Gemara keeps on using the word or, not basar, because the skin around the stomach is not real meat. It only looks like skin, and that's why the Gemara keeps on using the word or. So we need to quote the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah says that Chazal said that Gvinas Akum is Asur. And the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yeshua says that the reason it's Asur is because they make the cheese with the kava of the animals that they slaughter, which are the Nevelos. Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Yeshua, he says because the halach is that Chazal allowed Kehanim to drink the rennet of a carbon oiler, even though an oiler is obviously also bahano. So we see that the rennet is not considered part of the animal. Similarly, the same should be by the rennet of an animal slaughtered by an akum. So, and therefore it shouldn't asser the cheese. So Yeshua agreed, and he said that the reason it's asser is not because the it's part of Nevela, but rather the reason it's Usur is since the rennet is part of the animal that makes the animal fatter and makes it more desirable as a carbon for Avodah Zarah, then that's why it's considered like part of Takruvus Avodah Zarah and Asur. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees because he says if that's the concern, then Gvinas Akum should not only be Asur Bachila, it should be Asur Bahanoah. So Rabbi Shmuel over there says that we're not worried about the Keva. We're only worried about the Ar. So how can we say here that the Keva of Dov Gechovim is Nevela? From that Gemara we clearly see that we don't hold that way. And so the Gemara like Kasha. Kan Kalim Chazara. The Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah is before Rabbi Shua retracted. At the first part of the Mishnah, the Keva, he still held that the Keva was Asur. Kan Lach Chazara. So the Mishnah said, Sherish Yonkim Atrefa. The Mishnah made a difference between a kosher animal that nursed from a non-kosher animal versus a non-kosher animal that nursed from a kosher animal. Asked the Gemara, Foktani Reisha. The Reish says, Kevas of Kachamim, Shal Nevela, Harei Asura. We said that the Keva is always also. How can we say here that if the keva was found by a goy but it nursed from a kosher animal, it's not also? Answered the Gemara, Amaresh, Rav Chisda. Reisha, in the Reisha, Nirukaychal Nevelis, in the first case, where the goy slaughtered the animal, if we're going to allow you to eat that keva, it looks like you're eating a nevela. Hacha, here, in the last part of the Mishnah, where we found the rennet in the stomach of a treifa that nursed from a kosher animal, ikashchita, the animal was slaughtered, and therefore we're less concerned. Because, as we always explain, a treifa is an animal that's slaughtered, we may not eat it, but it is tall. Omle Rava, as Rava, on the contrary, v'lav kol d'chevo, oman nevela, if in the case of nevela, which is mias, v'shars le'kevosa, that we're going to allow you to eat the keva. We're not going to come to eat the meat because people stayed away from the velas. Amit loy, we're still machmor on the keva. Trevishchuta, the ish trefa, as we just explained, is an animal that's slaughtered. It just was discovered to be a trefa. The shoris that we're going to allow you to eat the keva. You may come to eat the meat as well. Loy koshkein, that it should not, the keva should be osur. El amar b'yitzchak amar b'yochanan loy kasha. Can chayim chazara? The first clause of the Mishnah is in referring to the case before Rabbi Shua retracted, and then he said that all kevas are osur because it's part of the animal in which it's found. Kalach chazara. Ultimately, he retracted, as we just quoted the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. At that point, he said that the rennet is not part of the animal in which it is found, and therefore, it makes a difference from where it came, if it came from a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. Well, Mishnah is also Mekaymai, but the Mishnah stayed with the same original version, the original part of the Mishnah, even though it's not correct halachically, they kept, because as we say many times, they learned Torah Shabbat Peh, and they didn't want to change any Gersos to confuse them. In fact, they saw the Prichadosh, but the Prichadosh says, now we can understand the flow of the Mishnah very nicely. First, the Mishnah begins to discuss the keva. Then the Mishnah speaks about the or, and then the Mishnah goes back to the keva. Ask the Prichadosh, why is the Mishnah jumping around back and forth? Explains the Prichadosh, because the first part, the Mishnah wants to show that the first part of the Mishnah is Kodim Chazara, and the last part of the Mishnah is Lach Chazara, so it introduces the din of the or in between to separate. Or Rav Chiba, Abba Rav Yochanan, Ma'amidim Mekevas Nevelas, we can make cheese in the rennet found in the nevela. They mamidim the keva shchitus as kachavim, but we can use the keva of an animal slaughtered by an atom. Amo for Rav Shimon Rava, Kaman, whose opinion does fall? Kribeleza. Dama, stam achshav savers kachavim lavei kachavim. Now, Kribeleza said at the beginning of the Masechta that we have to assume that when a goy shechts an animal, he has a mind of avodah zarah. And that's why the keva of every animal slaughtered by an akum is considered avodah zarah, and since it's avodah zarah, it's completely osur. Amalei v'el kaman. Of course, that's opinion. It says the Gemara k'asav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ma'amidim ben kevas nevela ben kevas shchitus al kachavim. Why did he say this? So halacha of the Rebbe Lezer, we need not be following the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. V'el kasav, but halacha is ein ma'amidim ba'or kevas nevela. We can't use the flesh of a nevela. Why? Because as we said before, that's always dover hamaimit. Ama midim bekevus nevela. In the keva we can use bekevus shchitus of kachavim. Similarly, we could use the milk of the shchita of an akum, and the milk of the shchita of an akum. But here we have a very big machlokes rishonim. Rashi says that the rennet, that the Gemara that's saying that the rennet is mutter, is only when it's found in the stomach of an avela or a treifa. But if it's sucked, if it's nursed from a treifa animal, the halacha would be that that rennet is asur. And as we said before, if the rennet was salted or cooked with meat, it also becomes asur because bas b'chalof. The Rif and the Rambam hold that both liquid and congealed rennet are not classified as milk. The Gemara is considering them perished, it's considering like junk, and therefore rennet is always mutter, whether it was found in the stomach of an avela or a treifa, or even if it's nursed from a treifa. And therefore, according to their opinion, even if the rennet was salted or cooked together with meat, it would still be permitted because it's not considered bas b'chalav. It's considered basar with perish. Rabbeinu Tam makes a difference between liquid rennet and congealed rennet. When it comes to liquid rennet, he agrees with Rashi. When it comes to congealed rennet, he says congealed rennet is certainly considered perish, and therefore he'll agree there with the opinion of the Rif and Rambam.